Hello, and welcome to Academy Conversations Uncut, a podcast of rare Q&As with the world's foremost filmmakers, hosted by the Academy and released for the first time to the public, unedited. Today's panel was recorded in August 2018 at the Samuel Goldwyn Theater in Beverly Hills, California, discussing the movie Crazy Rich Asians, a romantic comedy about a Chinese-American professor who travels to Singapore to meet her fiancé's family, only to discover they're one of the wealthiest families in the country. We were joined by director John M. Chu, actors Constance Wu, Henry Golding, and Ken Jeong, and producers Nina Jacobson and John Panatti. The panel was hosted by Dave Karger. Here's Dave.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Dave Karger. I'm a host on Turner Classic Movies. It is such a pleasure to see this room so packed on a summer Saturday night. So thank you so much to all of you for being here and for hanging around. I'm the lucky guy who gets to introduce six of the members of the cast and crew of this phenomenal film. So first, let me bring out two of the producers, John Panatti and Nina Jacobson. From the cast, please help me welcome Ken Jeong. Henry Golding. And Constance Wu. And please help me welcome the director, John M. Chu. There, of course. Welcome to you all and congratulations. As I said to you guys backstage, I'm just so sorry that no one seems interested in this movie and that people aren't talking about it, no one's covering it in the media. It's like, so maybe this will help, the fact that you guys were all here tonight. No, it's been so exciting for me to see all the attention it's getting, and I'm sure it's the same for you. Nina, I want to start with you. I'm sure that Kevin Kwan, who wrote the book that this is based on, had many suitors, people wanting to make his book into a movie. Did you just basically say on the phone or in a meeting, hello, did you see The Hunger Games? I'm the one that brought those movies to the screen, so you need me. How did you win him over, do you think?
No, that wasn't really my approach. But he did have many suitors. It was definitely a beauty contest, and we met in person. And we mostly just talked about, honestly, just the huge mainstream appeal of the movie, and that, you know, he and I were just talking about this the other night, which is that on the one hand, everything that's been going on these last few weeks is just, you know, it's been a dreamy experience. And it's been a dreamy experience throughout, honestly. We've had a, as you'll probably hear tonight, just an exceptionally tight-knit group, an incredible leader in our director, and a level of devotion from the people involved that's unusual. But When we sat there at our big premiere, we were like, this is what we pictured. I mean, it's beyond any expectation, but it is what we always set out for and what we always imagined, what we always hoped for. And so I think that meant a lot to him, which was that it wasn't a specialty film. It wasn't, this would be great for the Asian market. It was like, this is a great movie for mainstream audiences around the world, period. And also that we have done a lot of very faithful adaptations and that we work closely with our authors, that they're, what matters to them matters to us, and that was meaningful to him. But I think there was just a very hard to miss how heartfelt our love of the material was and how ambitious our aspirations for the movie were.
And kind of on the same note, John, my understanding is that if you guys had wanted to make even more money on the deal, you had other offers from streaming services, but it was super important to you to go with a traditional movie studio so that this movie was seen by audiences on the big screen. Talk to me about that decision and how important that was to you.
One, I love Netflix. I'm a faithful subscriber. I watch it all the time. I want to do business with them. No, the argument was they have this massive subscriber, if you want eyeballs, immediate eyeballs all around the world, no waiting, no depending on opening weekends or reviews. Like, that is the way to go. It is part of the future. And then the other way was something that Kevin and I had talked a lot about of the goals of this movie, which was there is a message that is said in the cinema that it is worth your time and your energy to leave your home, to fight traffic and parking and stand in line and pay for a ticket and gather your friends and schedule, put in your calendar and then sit in a room and then turn off the lights, let go of everything else and say, tell me a story. And to have an Asian cast, all Asian cast, in romantic roles and heroic roles, comedic roles, and to present it on a platter like that. It just, I think it trickles to every part of pop culture when you do that. And to have a giant studio like Warner Brothers to anoint that and spend tens of millions of dollars to promote that sends messages that this is good business. And I have to, I don't know if we've said this yet, but I actually didn't have the power to say either thing. It was Nina and Brad and John that, when the decision came down, they said, we defer to John and Kevin. That was unheard of, like that all their lawyers, I'm sure, killed them after. So I have to give that respect to them. And again, I don't think we've said that in the interviews yet, but they empowered us to make that decision.
I mean, I would chime in one other thing, going back to both that decision and the question from before, was that one of the things we talked to with Kevin from the beginning is Kevin optioned the book to us for $1. And we chose early on, we said, let's develop it outside of the system. We felt that even though there were studios, even at that time, who wanted it, that it would get developed, sure, but would it get made? And would it be cherished? Would it be a treasure to the place that developed it? And so we, UTA early on introduced us. And so we agreed with Kevin from the beginning that we would do it outside the system and get ourselves to a place where we could make a decision about the best home for it. And so we went to John Panotti and to Ivanhoe, and they became, you know, our partners at a very early stage in the process. And they funded development and scouts and our budget. And so that we were able to then go and get someone like John Chu attached, because we had a script that showed what our intentions for the adaptation were, and because we were ready then to go into a studio and say, here's our team, here's John's presentation, and the partnership with Ivanhoe and with John really is what made it possible for us to have that decision for us to make together at that later point when we were ready to decide.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you.
John, when you think back, was this easier, harder to put together logistically, financially?
Looking back, it was kind of a gift. The previous 2 years I had spent in Asia, Singapore, Beijing, and when we read this, we're like, this is kind of built for what we've been thinking about for the last 2 years. And it kind of just was delivered. And then when I understood Nina and Brad had signed on with Kevin, it was like, wait a second, this is too good to be true. And we really just figured if there was going to be any project that was going to launch our company, it was new at the time, this would be it. So we really do feel blessed.
Constance, you're already on a sitcom that is considered by many people groundbreaking, fresh off the boat. This film obviously is such an exciting project to everybody involved and a lot of the fans who were out there waiting to see it. Is this the part you wanted the most in your career?
I wasn't expecting that question. So good on you, because I always get the same questions. If I were to quit acting tomorrow, then yes, I would say that this doing this role in this movie has felt like the privilege of a lifetime. And I don't know what's in store for the rest of my life, so I don't know. Maybe there is something better I'll like out there. I don't know.
Henry, your story fascinates me. Your background is in television hosting, so I like you a lot. But I could never do what you just did in this film. You blew me away.
Thank you.
Did you know you had this in you? Has acting been an aspiration for a while, or did someone have to kind of flip this switch in your head that you could do this?
That guy right there. I was a television host, a presenter for a long time, doing sort of investigatory kind of travel shows for BBC Discovery Channel. And I get a random email asking me to introduce John Chu to me and to jump on Skype. He has a project in mind. And of course, I've heard of Crazy Rich Asians. I live in Singapore. I've been there for the past 6 years, and it was the biggest news. And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it's like a small sort of like small part, like a cameo. I probably managed that. and he worded his emails very carefully from the beginning. And he was like, oh, you know, I'm still casting. There's a couple of roles sort of hanging around. So, you know, we'll send you the sort of the script, and will you read for me? I get the sides, and it's for Nick, and suddenly I panic, and it's either that sort of flight or fight moment. And at that point, I realized that it was such an important sort of moment. It was either I throw myself 100% into this, or I don't. And in the run up to that moment, I've been the biggest fan of cinema for my entire life, and not only sort of enjoying the stories that have been told, but the actual craft of how it's being told. So, you know, it all sort of helped. But I definitely think it was John's initial face and face.
My He's face got a beautiful face.
Faith. But also, you know, Panotti's and Nina's and Brad's and everybody's. So, yeah, I definitely had the help and working with Constance and an amazing professional who gave me so much to work with. I did my best.
He gave me a lot of good stuff to work with too, because I had to be in love with him. Wasn't that hard?
Ken, I'm curious, you know, you've built this amazing career, and most of the things that I see you in, you're surrounded by non-Asian actors. So what is it like to step on the set of a project like this and look around that table, you know, at the dinner table where we meet you, and to see all of the other cast that you're working with on this?
Yeah, it was incredible because, you know, my point of view of kind of Asians and cinema and TV of, I think this renaissance has really started with Fresh Off the Boat, just from my worldview, is that now it's on its fifth season. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to guest star on Fresh Off the Boat a couple times. And also because of Fresh Off the Boat, I was fortunate enough to have my own show, Dr. Ken, where it was based on an Asian American family, where we had five Asian American series regulars. So I think the movement, oh no, thank you. And also, not many people know this, is that the producers of Fresh Off the Boat, they would put in calls to ABC and saying, you have to pick up Ken's show. And then you have to give him the back nine. You have to give him the second season. And they fought for me just as hard. And so I was already, you know, surrounded by a lot of love behind the scenes. And when this happened, it was everything I had already had the privilege to experience times 100. It was, you know, we're in Kuala Lumpur, we're in Singapore, and to me, this was like, what an amazing cinematic foray, you know, of something that I think deep down inside, every Asian American actor wants to be a part of something like this. So it was nothing but pure joy, my first scene there.
For John Panotti and Nina, when you think back to all, I mean, there's so many great set pieces here, the bachelor and bachelorette parties, the aunties party, the big wedding at the end. When you think back to the making of this, what was the one set piece that was kind of the biggest headache or production challenge for you all?
Well, it's a very competitive category. I would have to say that getting Gardens by the Bay, we were actually very, very fortunate. This is where having a company that has its a home in Singapore and had some pull there because that Gardens by the Bay location, which is for the big, you know, wedding party. I mean, I there's so many locations that I really love in the movie. And there were a lot of challenges finding the location for the young family home was very hard. That does not exist in Singapore. So that's in Kuala Lumpur that we found that. And that, when we first found it, it was really run down and it had monkey poop on the floor.
It had no floor.
It was a, it was collapsing on itself.
Oh, my God.
And Nelson Coates just brought it to life and made it look so beautiful and amazing. But we were down to the wire on getting the location for that, which of those amazing, you know, electric trees. I mean, there's no location like that that was going to be a good substitute if you didn't get it. And so just relentless politicking and pushing and encouraging and nudging. And John would go back and forth and back and forth to from KL to Singapore to fight for that for us. But then also having to pull it off because it would be open all day long. And then the second that they would close for the evening, we would run in, make our movie, and then make ourselves scarce for the next day and come back. So that was also a bit of a challenge.
And there was a family affair because while we were in KL, we didn't have the location yet. And Kevin Kwan visited, and he said, he understood we were stressing, and he said, well, you should ask Janice. And Janice is one of the cast members, Janice Koh, who plays one of the aunties. So Janice's husband is the head of tourism in Singapore. I'm like, now you tell me? So we called him, and he said, listen, it's tricky. It's their fifth anniversary. Gardens by the Bay is a national monument, and they were doing a light show that was built years in production to project every night while we're shooting on all the trees, on all the super trees. And Janice ended up helping us through, and we got right up to the Prime Minister's office. We didn't have to get to the Prime Minister, but very close. And even 5 days before, they're like, yeah, this is great, but you can't have any lights there because you're going to ruin our show. And they're like, that's going to be a little tricky. But it worked out.
Let's do something I always love, which is to talk about people who aren't here. I love the fact that you have Linda Liu in this film who plays Henry's character's grandmother because she was also in the Joy Luck Club. Was that something that you had thought would be a fun thing to do casting-wise, is get someone from that film into this film, or is that just a happy coincidence?
Well, Lisa Liu is
I'm sorry, I got her name wrong. Okay. Lisa Liu, I apologize.
She is a national treasure. She's amazing. She does like this six-hour show in China every year. She's incredible. And so one, we already knew we wanted her. When I saw the Joy Luck Club, I remember my dad dragged us all on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m., like the cheapest ticket, into the van. We all watched it as a family. I'm the youngest of five. And we went to dim sum after, and we just loved it so much. We quoted it. We were like talking about how it's exactly like our family. And so the impact of her performance in particular, we actually, like years later, my dad won an auction. And so we got to go out to dinner with her.
No.
I was like 8 years old, 9 years old or something like that. So it was like our whole family like adored her already. So she was already in my mind. it's weird. And then I guess the Joy Luck, just because of the influence of Joy Luck Club, I think it was not a conscious like, oh, we got to make a nod to it. Only after I was like, oh yeah, that's actually really nice.
I love that this 8-year-old kid that she was essentially forced to have a meal with ends up giving her like the part of a lifetime. It's pretty great.
And she's a mad WeChatter. So like I get voicemails from her every couple days. It's amazing. Long. But really nice. And we were there. It was so funny. We were like, so where do you live? Like, how can we visit you ever? And she's like, I'm in West Hollywood. Okay. We'll meet you at Jones.
That's great.
She's two blocks away from me.
I love it. That's great. Constance, how did you psych yourself up for the really intense scenes that you have with Michelle Yeoh? I'm thinking about Mahjong. I'm thinking about the scene on the staircase. What'd you do special for those days?
I did a lot of preparation, and then I threw it away. You know, because you want to prepare and have everything that your character does and says. You want it to have, like, emotional history, like a resonance. So, you know, I built all of that. But then when you're actually in the scene, I just throw it all away because I want it to feel alive and not pre-planned, and I want to work off of what Michelle is giving me and whatever might happen. And she was just such a lovely person to act across, and I think it brought out the best in both of us.
Absolutely did. Whenever I see a movie, this is PG-13, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever I see a PG-13 film, I always like keep a special ear out for the one F-bomb that you're allowed to throw, like, in the movie. And I think it was Awkwafina who has it when she's dropping you off, right? How fun was that to, with the development of the script, to figure out where the one F-word's going to go?
That was not a planned F-word.
There were a lot of improvised F-words.
Everyone wanted the word, so everyone was throwing it in.
Yeah, there were plenty to choose from, but that was by far our favorite one. A lot of Nora stuff is, as you might be able to tell, is improvisational, which we wanted. You know, we had incredible comedic talent. We encouraged them, like, go for it, you know. Give us what you got. We'll get what we've got on the page, and then let's have fun. And so, you know, that was improvised.
I would say one of the biggest stars of this movie that we don't see is Mary Voight, your costume designer. Yeah. What she did with this is just phenomenal. Ken, what was it like for you to come up with ideas and stuff and see all the stuff that she had in mind for you?
I mean, there was just a lot of hangover flashbacks where it was just like, we're gonna give you some really over the top stuff and we're getting, and I was like, you know, yeah, I've kind of done that before. Yeah. And so to me, what really got me was also the Elvis Pompadour. That was all, I mean, just the whole look of it. And then just a shout out to my character's wife, is who I think for me, as well as Nora, like, steals the movie, you know. Like that dinner scene every time. I mean, just that, the whole Go family is just so popping, and I think it came from, you know, the wardrobe, and I think that really, it does inform the character, whether it's like, you know, Papa Go here, or whether it's Mr. Chow, whether it's the King and Role Models, you know, when you can wear amazing costume and you already, it just gets you over the hump of kind of figuring out the character.
Henry, since you're the one person on this panel who lives in Singapore, have you ever interacted with people like the ones that we see in this movie?
I mean, maybe. They're very discreet, I've got to say. But also, a lot of that wealth is in Malaysia. So Singapore and Malaysia being very closely tied in sort of history, a lot of the founding fathers of Singapore as a country were from Malaysia, and there's only a handful of families that kept everything from shipping to development to entertainment, the Shaw Brothers and all those guys. So there's definitely generationals, and maybe.
Okay, a couple last burning questions before everybody gets to go home. Constance, I imagine you're going to have to say yes to this. But when we see you moving all the Mahjong tiles around, you're not just like moving stuff around. I mean, everything that you did had to have total accuracy, right? Because there's going to be people watching this who are going to judge what you did.
Yes.
Did you already have knowledge of this, or did you have to learn the game?
No. No knowledge.
Wow.
Of Mahjong. But they got me a Mahjong tutor, and he schooled me in it.
A gambling addict, you can say.
But the thing is, so I learned the rules of the game, but then, you know, Michelle Yeoh came to, like, you know, to work with me on the Mahjong, and she plays, you know? Mm. And she was like, okay, you know the rules, but you're just doing it all wrong. It's like, she's like, you have to, like, move the tiles with aggression. You have to know which ones you're sliding forth, not just like, oh, I'm going to do this, which is what I was doing. And she's like, that's not how you do it. And so she taught me about the style, and the other guy taught me about the rules.
I like it. Okay, lightning round for all of you before we go. When you think back to this experience of being over there making this movie, the sets, the costumes, the craft service, the people, everything that you experienced, what's the one thing you miss the most? Starting with John Panatti.
The food.
Karaoke. We went out a lot because we were all together for a long time, very far from home. And we had an amazing local cast, but they were home. But the rest of us were far from home in a place that has all-night karaoke. That was fun.
The final scene on the rooftop of the Marina Sands, it was just an all-night hang with just the whole cast. It was the first time the whole cast had been assembled, and that's one of my favorite days of anything, because there was so much energy that night, and overnight shoots tend to be very long and very tiresome, but I just remember all of us were just so hyped up. It was pretty amazing.
I think for me, it still goes to this day, but the sense of family, like everybody really, really bonded, from the crew to the cast. I remember distinctly the last shot of the day, or the last shot of the film. We went through nights, and we were just finishing something off at the trees. John had to send the splinter team, the B-cam, off and pick up the sunrise. And so he sort of sauntered off and really was like, I'm going to miss everything. Everybody's going to sort of finish off without me. He had to go off and kind of set his camera up and stand there for like a couple hours. But as soon as everybody sort of finished their scenes, we all jumped in minivans. We jumped, we took sort of like beer, and we joined him on this part. And so when he sort of turned around and saw us, you just saw his eyes, and it was just one big family. And we just sat there and we watched the sunrise to finish this beautiful film that we had.
Constance?
What do I miss most? I'm trying to decide between two.
I'll give you two answers.
Okay. I miss playing Rachel. She really got into my bones and kind of taught me a lot about myself and the own struggles I've had with my identity and still having currently. And I think she's a lot braver than I am. So, like, I miss that. Mm. But then I also just miss working with Awkwafina. Because we had so much fun, you know?
John, how would you answer the same question?
It was the camaraderie for sure. Every actor was so different from the next, and yet we all shared this experience of, I always say that the thing that surprised me most about watching the movie on the big screen and with an audience is the amount of confidence that comes through that screen. And it's and it's from them that they've gone through the gauntlet of finding out who they are and are so proud of who they are and with no apologies. And I've never really felt that before. And seeing on all cylinders everyone just rocking and being who they are gave me this sense of pride that I understood pride intellectually. We talk about it, whatever, but like to actually feel the sense of I want to show them off to everyone in the world. It makes me so happy to do that. I want to drag people off the street and show them like, look how funny, look how amazing, look how talented these people are. That gets me every time. And this whole week has been literally I cry every 4 hours. And so that, when I look at them and I look what they're going to give to I just had a baby a year ago and it was my daughter. And throughout this whole shoot, I was thinking like, I want her to give someone like Constance Wu to look up to Constance Wu, to it was Rachel Chu, to Eleanor, to these people, and to know that she's not alone in her sort of journey of finding out who she is culturally. And I think that's what I'm really excited about. And that's what I miss every day, sort of being around them and feeling that.
Well, I think on behalf of everyone, I want to first of all say thank you for making a romantic comedy, because we need more of those. But congratulations on just a wonderful film. Ladies and gentlemen, the cast and crew of Crazy Rich Asians, thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to Academy Conversations Uncut. We hope you enjoyed this unique access to a members-only Q&A at the Academy. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and help us reach film lovers around the world. This podcast was produced by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.